Betsy and Thomas, we are the Voices of America. Yes, we've had to change our style a little bit. For those of you that have been with us for several years as we have posted the CAP report daily, and even before that, Truth News headlines, and before that, we would post to any site that would take us. It's been a great journey. And you know that many times we have to jump bridges when we get obstacles and how our platforms work. We have to be prepared to jump to the next platform. So we always knew that the CAP reports would eventually come to an end. They were educational platforms to help a unique audience of listeners. And that's you, frankly. Those of you who are listening to this, you are that unique audience. And along the way, we educated and enlightened you about the deeper truths of the world. But when the CAP report would end, we would need to find another way to express that. So we knew that if we had to stop the CAP report, that it would be time to take our advanced students to another level of their journey. This morning, I woke up. I went down to load up everything. And you have to understand, it takes me, and Thomas can confirm, it takes 4 to 6 hours to put out a CAP report. And sometimes, as you know, it takes that much time to go through them and watch them and read all the great articles. So it takes a lot of time. But when I came down to my WordPress this morning to open it up, I saw that WordPress had put brakes on the mothership. They had changed the way the platform operates behind the scene, and you have to operate in these things, these blocks. But what it does, it chains me, and I can't be chained. When I want to express myself on my platform, my canvas needs to be totally clear, and I don't want any restrictions. So I just honestly had to say that it would be very difficult. I cannot add 2 more hours to my day because I still have to get dinner on the table and run a house. It just was Spirit's way of telling me that Thomas and I will be moving into a new platform, one that we've prepared and we are very excited about. And we say that we are the Voices of America because we know that many of you take our raw audio files and you upload them to your own video platforms, to your podcast, and you're welcome to do it. That's what we want. We need truth to be spoken all around the world so we can continue to awaken the people. We're going to try to do these a few times a week. We'll have them posted at the top of the page. We're going to give you in-depth analysis. We'll probably choose a topic or two to really go into. We expect you to show up at class, pay attention, and you now know the sites that you can trust and you can go to get your regular run-of-the-mill news for the day. Of course, if we see anything that we think you might have missed, we'll make sure to post that right underneath our limited platform. Thomas, welcome to the Voices of America.
An apropos name, apropos, because this is still the Second American Revolution that we're fighting, and no matter what platform we're on, we're going to continue as we've said that we always would. And it's nice reminiscing in your presentation as the opening of this podcast back to the old days. I can remember back when before it's news posted our articles and we would, I saw it as a competition. I wanted to be number one and get at least 250,000 hits from every article that we turned out. And pretty soon that was the case. And so it was amazing to then watch that evolve into what you and your team, you know, it sounds like, you know, you have so much support and so many people, interesting people that are feeding you that are so desperate to get onto the CAT report and get associated with Aim for Truth and speak with the conclave members and so on and so forth. So that's not going to change. We're going to continue to do the same thing. But I think, just like you say, we have evolved. It's a new form. Everything goes through a metamorphosis. And I can see that we have personally stopped writing so many intelligence reports from Aim for Truth because not only the miners and the researchers and Michael McKibben and Americans for Innovation do their work and other people feed things to you and to the team so that it can be, and the conclave, so it can be digested and turned out. But what we don't have the time to do that anymore. We have to just keep moving forward. And so I see this as the next step in a discernment process. we have written it all down. So if you've been following along, and so many people have written letters of encouragement and emails of encouragement, said such wonderful things that we can't really not continue the work that we're doing. And some of the people have said, quite rightly, well, does that mean you're going to do more work on the other side of the bridge? And in the glass bead game, that's what we call going between these things. So we're going to continue in all different levels, but this dialogue style is what people have asked for the most. And so that's what we're going to do now.
I think it's because they can listen to us on their on the podcasts, and you can find us on regular podcasts on the American Intelligence Media. But as we go forward, we are just going to identify ourselves as Betsy and Thomas, Voices of America. The reason is that our material gets spread out all over the world, and not everybody will know the many layers of our work. For those of you who do, you know that just like in a mystery school, your teacher is known to you by different names as you move through the levels of instruction. So Betsy and Thomas is a name that most people know us by, and we love those names and those avatars. And those avatars are one trying to teach everyone in the world, Americans, New Zealanders, Germans, British, what the truth is of our world. And it's not nice, and we need to get united. We have an organization called the Pilgrim Society, and they are trying to destroy humanity. And it's not a conspiracy theory. We've shown it. Tonight's topic, I really wanted to delve into this, some scary things that we're seeing right here in Michigan about the schooling situation.
Yes, and just to underscore what you were saying, free speech has been squelched all over the world. It is so bad in America that we know exactly who paid how many billions of dollars to write programs to stop those on the middle ground, or those who are might happen to be a Republican or a conservative, for heaven's sakes. These programs were actually written against them. And so we know all of these things are in place. We know that Trump is fighting the war. But now, at any moment, we expect that the whole system either it will come all tumbling down before the election, and or we already know Trump will win. Have you noticed what's happened now? They've been caught with their fake polls. So now they're doing real polls. And so Trump is gaining 10, 15 points in a couple days. That's impossible. So what you're seeing is it's going to be another landslide election for Trump. And we know this, and perhaps he knows that this, and the squelching of free speech in America is following suit with what has happened in Britain and throughout the United Kingdom and in the European Union and many of the countries all around the world. Now there is no more free speech, and you have been put into a, whether you call it a credit score or a dragonfly system or a social credit score. The point is, freedom is being limited all the time. And we did not know, but we'll talk about it in a minute, that, well, we did know that electronically, the people who have decided to do these things are people who are the richest people in the world. So Bill Gates and Melinda Gates have a foundation. And before they got completely insanely involved in pandemics and epidemics and vaccines and giving money to teach people not to be anti-vaxxers and to go around the world, you know, inoculating everyone they can and to support glyphosates and GMO products. Well, before that, I forgot. They took over every state education system. So I think another topic was the what has happened to the education system. And recently we have been, against our will, pulled into it. We were quite conversant with homeschooling and the programs that were out there, and also all levels of administrative compliance in the state level and all the different levels.
Let me explain this a little bit more. What's happened is I'm watching very closely in Michigan what's going to happen at the beginning of the school year, because in the summer, all of us were asleep. We knew that this wasn't going to be an easy way to get started schools with social engineering and face masks. And we knew it was going to be a mess, but it wasn't really anything we could say because we hadn't seen exactly how the schools were going to do it. So the schools have started to roll out their plans. And in Michigan, we see basically each of the school districts gets to decide, but basically it's that you get to choose to be in school. But if you're in school, it's a very limited situation with the children. And if that's not your option, you have to go online. And that's not a good option for your child either, because they're going to be left alone in their rooms all day long with this indoctrination material. And that's what I'd like you to speak about, Douglas, because you know about this curriculum since you were there and developing it. But here's the problem. We said, of course, we're pointing people into homeschooling. And we said in Michigan, it's very easy. You just need to notify the state. And we assumed that this was done the same way it was maybe 8 years ago when we would see homeschooling options. Because you remember, we were both educators in the public school system in Michigan. We were shocked. We said, well, let's go find out what they require for homeschooling. And that we were shocked to find out what is required to do homeschooling in Michigan. And that's what I want you also to talk about. Okay.
Yes, it shocked me. That's for sure, Betsy. I looked at it. I was a superintendent and I was able to write things onto people's transcripts and give them coursework. And I had the end of coursework tests. And so I was able to do all kinds of things. And I was able to bend the rules. I was able to do what we wrote the first white paper. I was part of the team that wrote the first white paper on seat time waivers. What that means is your child doesn't have to come to a brick and mortar school, that they can, in fact, get online. They don't have to sit at a desk for X number of hours. They don't have to have X number of hours prescribed. And anyway, they found out later with interactive computer classes that they could make you spend that much time looking at the screen because it's all timed and it's interactive. So what we found out was that, unfortunately, it wasn't good for the really bright children or the children at the other end. So the ones who had difficulty in special education had trouble online. Those who were really smart, it drove them crazy.
When we went to look to see what the requirements were for homeschooling in this state, we were shocked to find out there are no standards at all. In fact, you, the parent, will decide what to do. Now, that's good, because if you are a creator, educator, and you know what you're doing, oh my gosh, this is going to be great, or even an enthusiastic parent. But that's not everybody out there. And they will permit parents just to sign off on their child's education by simply signing off that, yeah, everything's complete. And then you make your own diploma. And that's the diploma your child gets in that homeschooling situation. There are no standards. And then if you think about what's happening with the online teaching from public schools, that's going to be straight indoctrination right into your child's bedroom or wherever their computer is. Then we found out that you can't sign off on the papers if you don't have a bachelor's degree. At least they made one criteria that you have to have a bachelor's degree. So if you are from maybe a working family where you don't have a parent with a bachelor's degree, the parent can't sign off on this. I don't know. Maybe you can get a teacher who does have it or somebody with a BS to sign off. There are no standards. This is shocking. And then I realized where I interrupted you, because you're going to talk about the universities and colleges and what's happening with them. What we are looking at here is the globalists are taking down our total system of education in America, because education is no longer going to be needed in the new world order. Why would it be? We're just being harvested by these people. I'm sorry. I just wanted to take the conversation a little deeper.
No, I quite agree with what you said. And my point is that, which I was finally going to get to once I went through the weeds, was on the other side, was that these universities, they're all going online. Oh, at the very last second, tens of thousands of students all over America. Perfectly good universities are going to give it all over to canned courses. And then they're going to say that the professor is connected to it. Well, I took courses from Phoenix University, which was one of the first online K canned courses, but we actually had real professors and they made you integrate. And it was very difficult. It was a very difficult system. And so I've been there from the beginning, watching students do it, watching adults do it. And what I'm about to tell you is probably going to shock you, but I'm going to tell you the truth of the matter in just a second. But I have to build up to this. You are absolutely right, Betsy. We are being held in our houses as self-willed hostages. We are now, our children are now incarcerated in our homes. We are in house arrest. And just like with Amazon, that's going to soon use drones to fill the sky with the deliveries of your pizzas to your house and your food to your house and everything you ever wanted to your house. And when you get on your screen, it'll tell you what you need to order next, because you will be a good consumer, but you won't leave your house unless you have on a full, you know, hazmat suit because of you're afraid of a virus and you can't go to school anymore. Now, guess what? This is the part that shocked me. I didn't know this. I had to go online because, as I said, I was pulled into this, into the deep end. I didn't want to be, but I was pulled into the deep end. And what did I see? Oh, my goodness. Bill and Melinda Gates went to every state in the union. I already knew this from my previous experience. I helped spend their $70 million in this state to create what was called the virtual university. And they were canned courses. They were courses for educators, so we didn't have to go to school anymore. We could just go online. They were for professional training, for all this training that we had to sign off on that we did every year, for all the state training, for the administrative training, everything. And then good old Bill looked at these, all these different programs that were out there. There were five or six of them that were the beginning programs. And I believe what has happened, I have to trace this down and have the expert miners look for the facts in terms of following the money. But they have now one in Michigan, one virtual school. It's a for everyone, K through PhD, including into professional training. So you go online, you go to one little database created by Bill and Melinda Gates, and you sign on and pay exorbitant prices for those courses under the auspices that there's also a teacher somewhere that's going to help you if you need help. That's neither here nor there. I've now seen what is offered everywhere. Homeschooling courses that are decent, they're all filled up. Their computer servers can't even handle it anymore. The charter schools had been limited in this state and many others to not take as many students as you would expect that they could online. They should be able to take thousands of students, but no, they were limited. There's only a few of them. So they had limited all that. But then, because I was in charge of the almost all of the strict discipline academies in Wayne County, when those all folded, is that a proper noun, proper verb? When they all folded, then every school had to have a backup. And so they went to this online state thing provided by Bill and Melinda Gates. And then it became a system. And then they, and then what happened? The core curriculum came to every single state and said, we don't care about your curriculum in your state. If you want any federal money, you're going to join the core curriculum and you're going to all bow down to, I'm not going to name the companies because they'll come after you probably, but we know who they were. I worked with them. These big companies got very small contracts for centralized control of everyone's education that can be done online at home, and yet they still charge you a ton of money, and the schools are probably still going to sign. The schools are still making, let's call it $7,000 to $10,000, $7,000 to $10,000 a year per student to simply sign you up for courses. I used to do this for all the students when we first started this. I was the little person. It takes one little person to do it, and I'm going to get thousands of dollars when any parent can do this through homeschooling. As a homeschooler in this state, I can go to the same program as my child is going to get from her own school and have the same exact coursework, except that I have to pay.
Okay. I know there are a lot of terms there that, you know, homeschooling versus online. When we're talking about homeschooling, we're talking about you as a parent, being the teacher, working with your child, like in a physical way, teaching in that way. Now, you might go to your computer and access things online, but you don't have your child sitting in front of a computer all day doing the coursework. So homeschooling is one thing, but online education that's done in the home is something different. So just to clarify that, but here's the problem when we put all of our education online, then, and it's controlled by Bill Gates, that is going to be K through PhD, total indoctrination. That also gives them an opportunity to take their revisionist history and continue to revise it. Because remember, to all of the world, the reason that we're in the situation is that the Pilgrim Society has gone to great lengths to change our history books. And so we didn't really know that we hadn't won the American Revolution the way we thought we did, because our history books don't teach us that. So imagine now that Bill Gates has control of total education online in that manner. The other thing is once they get you online, then they totally control you, because that's when the social engineering and the social justice warrior stuff that we see really comes out into the curriculum.
That's right, Betsy. And what I've noticed is they tend to forget, but now it's allowed. As long as you have a bachelor's degree, well, isn't that a terrible thing that you'd have to have a bachelor's degree just to teach your child elementary school grades? That's horrible. But if you have a bachelor's degree, and of course I have a lot of degrees, so I have that and all the certifications, so I can teach my child at home any darn thing I want. I don't even have to anymore. I don't know when they dropped the rule. I don't even have to tell the state. I don't have to make reports to the state. I don't have to tell the school. I don't have to tell them what program I'm using. I don't have to have a certified program. Don't have to be certified in North Central. No, doesn't have to be.
You don't have to teach math or reading or anything, and you can sign them off as being homeschooled. So you don't tell me that they don't want to destroy education.
That absolutely. So there I am. I'm thinking, well, this is easy. I just get the books. I mean, I could teach whatever grade. Yeah. And I'm also high school. I'm K through 12 certified, so I can do it. But, you know, I have a certain educational privilege, I have to state, because I went to school for a long, long time to have that privilege to be able to teach. And then I can write transcripts while I was a superintendent. I can write, I can sign a graduation diploma. I can make up the name of a school that looks like it's real. It doesn't matter, because any community college will take anybody who's homeschooled. They'll take a GED student, a general education diploma. Hello? If you have an eighth grade diploma, if you have an eighth grade education, you can get into any community college.
We're seeing the total destruction of the education system in America right in front of our eyes. And it may be happening in your country too. But let's go back, because here's another shocking thing we found. So in the public school districts here in Michigan, now they exited all the students out of the schools. Now to get back in, whether you want to do in school or online, you have to provide your updated vaccination records.
Which is a horrible thing, because probably that will get them set, and they'll do it electronically just for you to get in, and then that'll be set for when the new vaccine comes, and then your child probably can't go to face-to-face school if you don't have the vaccine.
No. If you are in face-to-face school and they see you're not vaccinated, you'll have to be to get back in, or they will keep your child if you don't, and they'll send them to Child Protective Services. Or remember, when you release your child into that public school, if you choose online learning, this is a new world here. And what they can do to your children and remove you because of a pandemic, you may not see your children again if you put them in these public schools.
That is a serious reality. Now, people may think you're exaggerating, but in certain states, let's say that the teacher has a, you know, when they say has a case of COVID, they first need to state, is that a test? Is that the second, third, or fourth test? What kind of test was it? Did they have symptoms or did they not have symptoms? Did they go to the hospital? Did they not? Let's say that a teacher gets COVID, God forbid, has to go to the hospital and dies. What happens to all the students that high school teacher saw that day, which can be a huge amount of students? And so now what we seem to see is that they're trying to force everyone onto online. Well, that's a centralization issue, so that even those schools, they have to pay money, your tax dollars that you paid for the children to go there, to the state, to a Bill Gates rewritten program, owned by the states, because that was the deal. Bill would give the money to get going, and then what? Well, they're on his computers. The guy makes more money than anyone on the face of the earth because of this deal. He is now going to be multiplied times 10. Okay, so education is the second or third largest industry in America. It is now going to go online to a bunch of servers because the courses are canned, they don't work, and they bore people. And when you have to sign up for six courses in one semester, which is what a high school student is expected to do, it drives you insane. And you don't have anybody talking to you. It's, you know, the person might get back to you. There's supposedly the teacher on the line with you in two or three days, maybe. No. And so what we saw, the research was conclusive, but then they hid the research and it didn't go out to anybody. And I was working with the biggest educational provider in the country in these programs. And these were top programs. They gave us the computers for free to run these programs, okay? Just to see the effect of them. And what we found out was they don't work, and you're not going to get a good education, and it's going to be indoctrination, exactly as Betsy just said. And it's so the guy who's created the pandemic, Bill Gates, before that, years ago, set this up so that when the pandemic came, we would all be chased by the wolf back into the chicken coop, and there we're going to sit at our computers and bow to the great Bill Gates. That's the way I see it, and that's a really disgusting picture.
Michigan State University students were prepared to go back to school to start moving into the dorms, and you know they were going to follow all of the social engineering rules and regulations. They just found out today that nope, it's all going to be online. Imagine the situation in a household where a parent is eagerly awaiting for that graduate to go on off to their freshman year of school, as equally so as the freshman is, to find out that they're all going to be stuck in the same house for the whole year. This is just a nightmare for parents.
It is inconceivable, Betsy. None. There's no time in history, especially in modern history, where we say you can probably make more money staying home teaching your child if you have a BA than you would spending the money to go to work and coming back. And you wouldn't have to give your child over to an indoctrination center that you will get every illness there is in every high school or every school in America. Just go swipe the floor of that school building, and it has every germ, if you believe in such things, bacteria, virus, and practically illness known to mankind. So when you send your child to school, what do they learn the first day? How to cuss and how to give somebody the finger. What do they learn the second day? What that actually means. And what do they learn on the third day? Inappropriate sex education classes. From day one, inappropriate socialism classes, Marxist classes, and the curriculum so watered down to the core curriculum that an idiot could teach it. Now, let me just also go back for a second to clarify something. You could use any, if you have a BA, you could use any book you want or no books. You don't have to have login hours. No. You don't have to log in days of instructions for your child. No, you don't. You could get on a bus and you could take them out on the road, and as long as you were smart like me and a good educator, I could give you documents that, oh my gosh, my child's making it into Harvard if she wants to, because who are the Ivy League schools looking for?
I do not want any of our children to go to that nasty, stinky school, Harvard.
Me neither.
Harvard is the seat of so much corruption in this country.
Anyway, homeschooled children are loved by colleges.
Here's the thing. That's what's on the dark side of the abyss, people. And this is why we need to vote straight red in America on November 3rd. And every American, you need to sit here and listen to me, because the rest of the world is counting on us. You got to get up. You got to vote. And between now and then, you've got to get as many people as you can on board. You'll know exactly what they need to hear to get them to move to the Trump column. But if Trump wins, that's not the way things are going to work out, the way we just described. Oh my gosh, we're going to have a renaissance in education like you can't imagine. I'm so excited, Thomas, because for the first time, we can give parents the vouchers or however that comes out as a tax credit, direct money. And yes, I know that there are some people out there that feel that education should always be upon the parent, not the state, but we're going to have a transition period to get everybody up to speed. And parents will be able to use these vouchers to maybe hire a teacher collectively in a small community in micro schooling, or they can send their children to private or religious school, or maybe the public schools will finally get it. The teachers union is going to have a big red pill because there are so many people out here that are going to be doing homeschooling, and they have a lot of reasons that are so much deeper than the teachers union can even fathom. That when they come back to school, they're not going to have a customer. And then on the flip side of that, if they think they're going to get paid for doing nothing, then taxpayers, the next time that we get our tax bill, we're going en masse to the city councils and the townships that are taxing us and asking us what that big fat line item is right there called school property taxes. We're going to demand that thing be taken off because they're no longer providing school. What do you think will happen to the teachers and the teachers union then and their pensions? It's all going to collapse, but that's okay. It's going to collapse. And if the good teachers see what's on the horizon, they'll step forward and do private education in small groups. They'll be free to educate the way they feel like doing so. You can have, if your talent is in music or in arts, you can set up a small school and have children in your neighborhood coming there to learn the special things that you have to teach. It's going to be so exciting, Thomas. Do you think it'll work out that way?
Well, Betsy, I knew this man and wife couple years ago who decided that what we needed was not to have brick and mortar schools, but to have a one room global schoolhouse. And that it would be a place where no matter what age the child was, they could go there and they could learn, and they could learn from each other, and they could learn from this community. And it should be on every corner. And if it was ideal, the very people teaching it who could be parents would at the same time be earning their bachelor's degree or their master's degree or their PhD. Because if you have to learn the stuff to teach it to your child, then didn't you also learn it? And if you're going to be able to teach anything from K through 8, why don't you deserve a bachelor's degree? Hello? And why shouldn't we do exactly what Trump said? Give the money to where it should go and give people choice. Because this millage in every single village that gets money for schools is just insanity. And that the fights that happen, the waste of money. So if public schools want to go on, they have to compete. So give the vouchers for those who want vouchers, give the direct payments to the homeschool parents who have the capacity. You know, here's what we did in Hawaii. One teacher that was certified said, I can fit six, and it turned out to be like eight students in the basement of my house. So I'm just going to renovate it, turn it into a classroom, and no longer have to go up to school. I'm going to teach my child and five others. And it turned out to be seven others. And that person made more money than they made up at the school, like twice as much money. That's what's going to happen. What you call micro schools, there's a bunch of names for this. But you know, why would a teacher go to one of these prisons? Look at schools. They look like prisons. And what do the students think of them? They just want to bust out of them. And what do they do to students in high school? They make them take honors class and advanced placement classes and the dual enrollment classes. Nothing but pressure to the point of depression and suicide. And they allow their cell phones, which should be considered weapons in any school, to run the school. The educators don't know anything, and they so far lean to the left that I cannot begin to tell you that if you try to talk anything logic at many school boards or anything to do with real education or education that's been backed up by longitudinal research, they look at you like you're a nutcase. So good luck with your local school. And unfortunately, at this time, Bill Gates' insistence of controlling education was fait accompli. Sorry, we didn't know that, but now that we think about it, we can see that that's true. And his pandemic is also fait accompli.
Okay, so the format is, the first few minutes, we want to talk about maybe one issue and just really drill on that, something that we personally think is hot. And then the next, we'll step back and look at a larger geopolitical issue. And one that the miners are working on right now is on Henry Kissinger. And so before we get there, and before Michael's ready to come in and we're ready to drop that research, can you give us a little background on Henry Kissinger? Because not everybody out there was a baby boomer protesting this evil, evil man who killed so many of our brothers and soldiers in Vietnam because of his New World Order and his clash of nations, which was nothing but a ruse to get the bankers to have us war against each other and feed the bankers the money and then have no other solution but gobble us up in a new world order. Oh, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, that's my exact sentiment, but you know, I couldn't say it better than that. You know, this guy was the father of false flags. He believed that there could only be one superior nation on the earth and that it had to be, they had to be then manipulating the struggle of nations, of any nation that would in any way compete with that superpower. So Henry Kissinger always knew that the superpower was Britain because he was just like George Soros. He was really a turncoat, a German turncoat, who was then used by the Brits and basically was on the inside of the Marshall Plan, the inside of what Wild Bill Donovan was doing and what the OSS and the CIA did. So when he then wrote his little white paper after he went to school, and it said, we have to have nuclear deterrence. We have to build up our nuclear arsenal as big as can be, bigger than all of our enemies. And everyone believed them at the council, him at the Council of Foreign Relations. He was being nothing more than a British agent of the Royal Institute for International Affairs, which is nothing more than the Chatham House, which is nothing more than Milner's Roundtable, which was started by Cecil Rhodes. Roundtable. And really, Kissinger is the absolute archetype of evil. He's kind of a mix of Hitler, George Soros, and Cecil Rhodes. And when you roll them all together, that's who you're looking at when you look at Kissinger. I actually do believe that he has invited the spirits of Mammon, the spirits of money, the spirits of darkness into his soul, because he truly, truly believes that he is the man who gets to decide who lives and who dies on this planet. And he has been responsible for the death of more people than you can imagine, because a Susan Rice goes and bows at the feet of Henry Kissinger. And the Council on Foreign Relations has directed the presidents ever since his white paper was accepted and he became a member there. And we're now researching, and we'll leave the punchline for Michael and his researchers, but I think we're finding out that, you know, the I get seething mad even hearing the man's voice. He's as bad as George H.W. Bush.
Well, let's refresh our listeners to the visit that President Trump paid Henry Kissinger when he first took office, and then what happened when Henry Kissinger went to Donald Trump's office.
Yes, well, see, they always say that when you're the president, the first thing they do is some people come in and say, sir, you're not in charge. We might introduce you to the people in charge if we give you that clearance level. But until then, you'll simply do what we tell you to do. And everybody does what they're told to do, except for Barack Obama, who just decided to bomb everybody. But anyway, so the joke, you know, they came to Trump and said, you got to go see Kissinger. And he goes, well, yeah, Kissinger's the man. So he goes out of his way, the president, to see Kissinger at Kissinger's place or wherever they met, I forget. And everybody made a big deal out of it, right? And so what did I say? I said, oh, don't worry. Kissinger said, China, China, China. And Trump said, go jump in a lake. Because who was on his other ear saying China, China, China? Steve Bannon. They both said, give up America, give it to China, and we'll give you a piece like we just gave to Hillary and Bill Clinton, a piece of China so big that nobody can actually tell you what the wealth of the Clintons is. And their corruption is so profound that it's right in your face and it's done with impunity. So then there was a second meeting, and this one was also very televised, you know, and it was Kissinger came to the Oval Office and he sat him in the couch, and here were cameras and everything in there. And then they brought in all these other people, And then this whole meeting happened and they filmed the whole thing. And then people were leaving and Kissinger's still sitting there. He hasn't said a word. And Trump completely ignores him, doesn't shake his hand, nothing. Completely ignores him in front of the world. And then there was a third meeting where Kissinger begged so much that Trump allowed him to come in. They had a private meeting. We don't know what was said, but here's what I tell you was said. Trump said, tell China to go jump in a lake, or any other words you'd like to substitute there. So he doesn't listen to Kissinger, and no one, since Trump has come to power, the Council on Foreign Relations, you haven't heard one peep out of them. The Bilderberger is dead. The Bohemian Grove, dead. Davos, it might as well be dead. It's led by the I don't know, one of the evilest people on the earth, George Soros. Who would listen to that man after he has ripped off 14 countries to the point that he's wanted for crimes against humanity in a few of them? So no, Kissinger is so pure evil. Remember, he based the entire OPEC dollar and the entire American currency, which went to what after they dumped gold on purpose because they needed to do that. So Kissinger, who was well aware of the stolen gold of the Nazis, because that's what he was probably doing when he was working for the Brits and when he was in Germany. And so he would have known of all of that. That's the reason that they allowed him. Everybody bowed down to him because he knew the truth. And yet it was the front man for the policy of globalism and the United Nations taking over the world, because behind the United Nations is, of course, Britain, and behind Britain is, of course, standing there, Henry Kissinger, ready to do the Queen's bidding whenever she needs.
That's all? That's all you have to say about Henry Kissinger?
No, I've not even worked up.
Folks, I tell you, we had such a fantastic conversation this afternoon. Michael Douglas and I, we were beating up old Henry because, you know, we're looking under the hood. What we have found about Henry Kissinger is going to be so shocking, but it's going to make a lot of sense. And that's why I wanted you to start talking a little bit about Trump's interaction with Henry Kissinger early on, because then it will make a lot of sense, I think, to listeners when they see the research that we've pulled up about Henry.
Anyone in the Council on Foreign Relations that is also a Pilgrim Society member is trying to get out of both right now. Because if Trump is reelected, they're not going to just dissolve. They're going to be roasted because every person there is complicit and guilty with selling out America to British globalism and the United Nations. It's just plain and simple. But anyway, Henry Kissinger now, you know, he looks like a bullfrog. And anyone who ever goes back and listens to what he said realizes that he said the worst things that anybody has ever said. He is as bad, no, he's worse with what he has said than anybody else I know in history.
In fact, listeners, if you'll look right below this video, I will put I had a little compilation of Henry Kissinger's sayings and things that he said about the New World Order. It's a little 10-minute clip. You might want to listen to it.
Yeah, so what Betsy was talking about is the following. All right, the Roman Catholics taught us how to do it, didn't they? They killed between 6 and 9 million witches. There were no witches. They stole their land, they stole their property, they stole their gold and their silver, and they stole everything of value. That's how the Catholic Church became so wealthy. And they had many other deals like this, like the Templars and the Hospitallers and the Crusades and the whole thing. And so they taught everybody how to do this, but then they used Venetian bankers for usury, and that was their big problem. But anyway, and then you have Hitler, and what did he do? He used concentration camps to pull in the Jews who weren't allowed to have property, land, right? So they had a lot of gold. They had a lot of valuable stuff, and that stuff was stolen by Hitler and the Nazis, and this is well known. And after the war, who do you think was probably cataloging that? Yes, IBM, who cataloged every Jew and probably their wealth and what they owned and, you know, all this stuff. And we know that that went to the Bank for International Settlements, because we know that some of that gold from the Jews that was stolen by the Nazis was given back. The Bronfman family caused the Bank for International Settlements to own up and give back some of the gold. Well, they got a lot more gold. Well, somebody was keeping track of that. And I'm going to surmise that General Sarnoff knew about that, that William Donovan knew about that, of course, that Alan Dulles knew about that, that Edwin Pauli knew about that. And yes, Henry Kissinger knew about it.
Who? Leo Wanta.
Oh, Leo Wanta. And Leo Wanta for sure was in on that because he and Soros were used twice to take the USSR down for a gold thing. Remember, it was a gold currency manipulation deal. Same thing. The second time, George H.W. Bush, Leo Wanta, George Soros. And what did they do? Trillions of dollars in money. How do you think George Soros got so rich that he's gone to 14 countries and tried to overthrow them and economically destabilize them, all for the sake of economic predatorism? Well, that's because he's backed by the CIA. Okay. So we get to see this. So Leo Wanta, at some point, will tell the story of Leo Wanta and how we were somehow connected to that. I don't know quite what to make of it, but he was an ambassador, and he and George Soros, there's a missing piece in the George Soros currency manipulation, and it is Leo Wanta who represented the CIA, the what we call the rogue CIA. So anyway, so with the Jews, what did they do? They stole the gold because the Jews weren't allowed to have land. And what did they do? For the witches, they burnt them. What did they do for the Jews? They gassed them. They killed them. They burned them. They did everything. And then what are they doing now? Oh, well, they're vaccinating us. They're giving us pharmaceuticals. They're hitting us with EMFs and 5G. They're killing us. And everybody who does any study knows this because the corporations don't do any studies on these things. And where are we now? We're being locked in our house and we have a mask over our face. And those who are compliant wear the mask. And those who aren't, they'll take out and put in a FEMA camp if you're not careful. And what are they going to do? Come in your house, take your temperature, and then determine what to do with your children, you, your grandparents, your wealth, and everything else. This is nothing more than another stage. First, it was the Vatican. And then we got to see that the Germans and the British did it down in the Transvaal in South Africa and the concentration camps and the pandemics and the whole thing. But now it is the globalist against America. And by chance, because it conquered America, it conquered the whole world. So the whole world is bowing to Bill Gates' pandemic so that we can all be locked up in our little black boxes here at our computers. And what are we doing? Bowing to Bill Gates. And now our children must do what? Bow to Bill Gates.
Well, I think what we're really seeing here is the results of centuries and centuries of usury and interest building up. Because, you know, when you have a system of usury, you have to have a jubilee every 7 years or so. You have to, or the system creates this, what we see today, what we call odious debt. It can never, ever be paid back. But what happens is that if you don't, the bankers, you could even look as early as the Venetian bankers, when they were creating more money than there actually was, they needed to have an event so that they could, basically, cover their shorts. So an easy way for them to do this would be to steal. Thomas, you went through a couple of scenarios I'd love for you to speak about, like how that happened during the Crusades and even up to into what was happening with the Jews. But what happens is that at every 7 to 10 years or so, you have events where the bankers have to come in, cover their shorts by stealing from the people, wherever you are in the world. And then you look and you see Henry Kissinger putting us on the gold standard. Well, that was a form of theft, but they had to, you know, take care of themselves. And then you see 2001. Oh, my gosh, the theft that occurred there. 2008, we have the housing crisis. Now, in the high housing crisis, they took from regular Americans. So many Americans lost their homes through that. I mean, where do you think all these homeless people came from that we see all over? They lost their homes during the crisis. But then you have BlackRock coming in and buying these homes dirt cheap and turning around and leasing them back to other families. So they pick up the property for cheap, then they make their money. But then the fraud, this usury continues until here we are today, where now the odious debt is so huge that they have to take everything from everybody. Is going to be a total, complete collapse. And they're going to sit there and they think their greedy little hands are going to collect it when it falls. But That's not what's going to happen, because we've been paying attention and we have an alternate way that this can play out. It doesn't have to play out in this horrible way. It can be a what we call a grand jubilee.
Yes, 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 yes. That's so true.
But we,
the grand jubilee, that's what we need now for sure. And the reason is because with the Vatican, they stole land until they had the greatest and the best land and the buildings on those land. And then what did Hitler do? He stole the gold until he had as much gold. Remember, the Vatican stole as much land as it ever had, and Hitler stole as much gold as when he united that with the Yamashita gold, the Japanese, Chinese gold, and all the gold from Europe. That was most of the gold. And so here's Hitler, he has most of the gold. Well, what happened to that gold? And now what do they want? They want everything that commerce can provide. And what is commerce? It's on the internet. So it was a psyops. The internet was supposed to be a psyops to trick people, called the dark net. It was called DARPA at first, and they sent military information and research over it. But then they said, well, someone might get this, so we have to make it absolutely as secure as possible. And they created the dark net. And with that, then a lot of criminality came in, and then they used it as a psyops to lure the criminality in. And so pretty soon, the dark web was producing more pornography than all the pornography out there. And pornography was the number one thing on the dark net and later on the internet. And even to this day, it's one of the top three things going on the internet. All commerce is going on the internet. So what have they done? In the past, by killing all the witches, they got the land. By killing the Jews, Hitler got the gold. And by killing us with pandemics, what do they have? They have us working the number one industry in America, the medical industry. So as long as they can keep us sick and keep us dying and never tell us that it's the vaccinations that are killing us, it's the drugs that are killing us, it's the denatured food that's killing us, as long as they don't tell us the truth, then what do we become? Consumers of things, sitting in our home in our little prison, can't go to work, we do our work on a computer, and it's all centralized. And what happens when there is one large coronal mass ejection? Even the memory banks in the deepest parts of Amazon and in the deepest parts of Apple and Microsoft, they're all going to be wiped out. You'll have to start all over again.
But they can't win this game. And this is what we need to understand, because in the end, they can only consume from themselves, because if they eat all of us and harvest all of us, there's nothing left. It's just a terrible situation, but that's really what I see going on.
You're absolutely right. And the teachers are doing it to themselves. The politicians are doing it to themselves. The world leaders are doing it to themselves. Why is this happening? Because we have a president who is directly linked to the Phoenix rising, to these two giant eclipses that are happening right on his ascendant. So we have somebody who is risen to meet the spirit of our times, what's called the zeitgeist, the spirit of our times. And there's a name for that being, and that is what Trump is doing, is he is risen up and he is meeting the time spirit. And he's saying to that time spirit, what should I do? And the time spirit's saying, you are going to do what no one else has even attempted to do, and you're going to succeed. And he's like, okay, let's do this. But it's never happened. There is nothing he is doing that is not unprecedented. And it's okay. You're going to see a landslide again. And that's one of the reasons that it's okay for us to shift the way that we are trying to present things to people. As Betsy said, we were trying to educate people for a long time and trying to make sure that we lifted the veil and said, this is the truth, look in this direction. And at this point, we have to help people with discernment to be able to say, this is what you just heard, but this is what's really going on. And that's one of the major key features of what we're going to be doing.